Good morning, Laurie. Welcome again to I want to say a beautiful day, but it is unfortunately very rainy outside right now, very dreary, which, you know, has its own benefits in itself. I'm actually a pretty big fan of the rain, honestly. You'll hear me say that 100 times. But, you know, in the fall, it makes it harder just because it's like a colder rain, so it just feels a little bit more like, oh, it actually is kind of dreary. We are kind of in autumn now, for sure. Speaking of the weather, today is going to be about 7 degrees, pretty much raining all day, dreary, at least drizzly, as I said on the app, which I thought was a good word for it, and a high of 17 degrees sometime in the afternoon. Today is still a waxing crescent full moon, and in 11 days, sorry, today's a waxing crescent, and in 11 days there's going to be a full moon, which is great. Everyone loves a good, beautiful full moon. And the sunset is going to be at 5:08 today, which means it is actually officially autumn now because it's getting darker and colder and drearier. yeah, it's been really cold. The other day I was out for a little bit during the nighttime and it was like below zero and it was freezing. I thought I was gonna die out. And just, it's been so like fluctuating because like even just a couple days ago it was so warm and everyone was commentating on it and it was just like, I could still wear my dresses and like I was totally fine to wear my sandals and everything was perfect. And then now suddenly it's just flipped a switch, it's freezing again. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. It's going to be good. And I love the winter. Everyone in my hall is so excited for Christmas to come around. Everyone's like getting all the decorations up and it's been beautiful. It's, even though it's only still November, but you know, that's where we are. And it's because we're Canadians, right? We don't really have anything to set it off. Like Americans have Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And we kind of have Black Friday a bit over here, but not to the same degree at all. It's just a lot more relaxed over here for the month of November. I find that's like weird. We have like these holidays like all kind of perfectly spaced out, and then like after Christmas there's like a solid many a month without an actual holiday. And I think that's partially why there's some more seasonal depression, just because there is really nothing to look forward to. At least in December, when it's like some people are like, if you don't like the cold, at least you are going to be seeing this beautiful like Christmas in the horizon and these golden like lights and these, or whatever else you celebrate, there's tons of things like Kwanzaa, etc. You just get to see this beautiful thing in the horizon that's like looking forward to. And also, I suppose this is the Western perspective because it's how I celebrate my holidays. But regardless, speaking of holidays, we just had Halloween about a couple of days ago, even though it feels like it was more because, well, I was still at my costume until at least the Saturday, and also Diwali, I believe. And yeah, it's been a wonderful time. I hope everyone had a happy Halloween, and I hope everyone enjoyed their time on Laurier. I doubt that a lot of you were at Laurier if you went to go quote-unquote party, but who am I to say that? Yeah, it was wonderful. It was really cool to see all the different costumes. Everything was amazing. Everyone was all dressed up, and it was a good school spirit, and I feel like everyone had a good time, and that was really fun. Well, yeah. But I love Halloween. Halloween's a great holiday. Halloween's just, like, fun. It gets less fun as you grow up, obviously, just because there's, like, you can't be 20 and trick-or-treating. Not that I'm 20, but you can't be out there and trick-or-treating and stuff like that and just without at least some strange look from parents, unless you're really short, which, you know, that would work in your benefit. But, yeah, I guess the best thing about Halloween now is just going to dress up and see people, and also the fact that, I suppose, candy's cheaper after Halloween ends. But, yeah, it's fun. But I think a lot of people agree with me on this. It's like, as you get older, the Halloween spirit just loses itself a little bit. But it's always nice to remember. Like, I've always pictured Halloween as, like, going into your classroom in mid-elementary school and seeing all those cut-out paper pumpkins on the wall and singing those songs and just, like, having that weird feeling of, like, Halloween and, like, being so excited knowing that in the nighttime after that you're going to be out with your friends or with your parents and you're going to be walking down the streets. It was maybe a little bit more fun for me because I grew up in the middle of the countryside, like farms, fields abound, horses and buggies. On one of my first ever Halloweens, maybe I was like 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, I was a princess and I actually rode a real life horse around. That's to show you how country I was back then. That was really, really fun and such an amazing experience. And the photos are really cool. So, but yeah, I loved my countryside Halloween. It was a lot more like relaxed. It was a lot less like actually having to worry about like my parents checking my candy, even though they did because, you know, mooches. But yeah, it's nice to think back on that kind of stuff and just like remember how it was. I think it's always a good thing to do. I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to look back on it because it makes me sad that I don't get to experience it anymore. But I think, you know, a little bit of remembering the past and like getting to swim in that nostalgia for a minute is actually incredibly healthy, just to feel you're older now. And, you know, that's scary sometimes to be older now and to lose that childish side of you. But I think it's a good thing to get to remember. I feel like I've had a lot of conversations about that, about like being so disconnected from your younger self. And feeling like there's always that age-old question of what would you say to them if you could talk to them now? If you were sitting right now and your five-year-old self was there, what would you say to them? And I don't know if I would say anything. I feel like I am the person I am because of the experiences I lived and the choices I've made. And so I couldn't, with like chest, warn her about anything or tell her about anything. Not that I think I would. And so, I don't know. It's hard to say. But, yeah. But I love Christmas. I love Christmas so much. It's probably my favorite holiday. I always wake up on the first day that the Christmas music ever plays on the radio station my family listens to, which is Chime 96.7. It's a Waterloo classic. But it's amazing. There's something about I feel like Christmas is just like never changes, even as you do get older. Maybe a little bit more so, just because like the magic of it is slightly askew now. But I think there's just so much genuine joy that comes from Christmas. Like, there's just like little things you can think of. There's if you love your family, you get to go home and spend time with your family. There's the baking, there's the lights, there's the snow, there's the music, there's everything that's just cheerful and happy, and just knowing that you're going to be able to get these beautiful gifts at the end of the day. To be fair, however, I love giving gifts. I love giving gifts so much. It is my favorite thing to do. There is nothing that gives me more joy than like spending time figuring out what people like and getting to slowly give them gifts and slowly figure out what they want. And that's amazing for me. So maybe I get a little bit more of Christmas than the average person because I am gift shopping and get an excuse finally, because people cannot finally not like deny my gifts. They finally get them. But yeah, it's a beautiful holiday. There's tons of other beautiful holidays around as well. I think Christmas is just such an amazing time because it like gives you a little bit of like warmth in the colder months. I love Canada to death, but my god, we stretch out winter as far as we possibly can sometimes, because like, why is it gonna snow on Easter? Why is there like these why are we all the way in like the warm season? I always say that we don't actually have a spring in Canada. We have a really good fall and a really good summer, and we have an incredible winter. Obviously it's beautiful, but then spring, it's just like it's snowing, but it's like a little bit warmer, and now it's like slushy outside. And that's our spring year, and it makes me sad because like spring has like always been characterized in most media as like this gorgeous rebirth of the world, and there's like birds are twittering and there's beautiful grass and it's gorgeous outside. And wintertime here is like, oh, there's slush, and it's like maybe a little bit like less white, more maybe not green, not yet. But and yeah, and it's like feels like it's like that, and then suddenly it's like June, and then you're like, oh well, now it's summertime and now the snow's gone and everything's warm again, and this is kind of when things start to regrow. But I don't know, I've never really pictured us having a springtime, which, you know, isn't bad, because I'm winter is probably my favorite season. I love getting bundled up and being inside. But in terms of just like how our seasons are placed, I feel like we don't really have spring. Anyway, I've already done a lot of rambling, haven't I? God, I'm good at that. If there's anything I'm good at, God, it's talking. But yeah, there's tons of different things. What can we talk about today? What do you want to talk about today? I came into here a little bit unprepared today because I was going to be co-hosting, but then there was a little bit of snag, so all my plans went right out the window. So a lot of this is improvisation, which is not to say that the rest of it isn't from other previous episodes, but especially so today. And I think you can tell a little bit because I'm less like, oh, let me talk to, and then this like very flowing way, like let me lead into these point A, point B, point C, the citations, etc. And I'm more like, let's talk. Let's have a conversation, you and I, because you're listening to me on the radio right now, Clara Elizabeth Rose, and I can't hear you. So there's a little one-sided conversation, but I can make up for it. I can speak for your parts. What are some things that's on your mind? Let's see. It's all dreary and things, and seasonal depression is certainly going to be kicking in really soon. I don't doubt that for most people in the world. Just because, you know, that warmth and the light goes away and it gets darker much quicker. Like I said, 5 o'clock sunset today is crazy. Like, last night I was sitting in my bed doing work and I was like, oh my days, it's already like pitch black outside. What happened? And then I was like, well, clearly it's not that late. It's like, it was like 6 o'clock at night, and I was like, it's dark and as heck outside. But I am happy that even though we live in like a more city-ish area, that the light pollution isn't that bad, and the stars are pretty okay, and you know, it's not warm, but at least it gets dark here. I have never been to Toronto in my life except for a day trip, but I envision that it is pretty bright there except for in the darker of alleyways all the time, which must, like, throw people off, I think. That would mess me up. I need, like, a nice, like, level of darkness to sleep. I need, like, a nice blanket of just, like, blackness to sleep and just to enjoy the, just to enjoy the darkness. But I used to, like, sleep with a nightlight on my entire life, and then suddenly, no more. But that's growing up, I guess. I think a lot of people are scared to grow up. I think a lot of people are like harrowed by the thought of turning 18 or 19 or 20 and so on and so forth. But it's so much better, right? I mean, it's like scary in terms of like losing that childhoodness of you and losing and like gaining more responsibility and being an adult and like actually starting the fruitions of your life. But I mean, it's just that you get that fruitfulness of like getting to make your own choices and getting to learn and experience and grow. And it's so much more like getting to experience your actual world that you want to experience rather than the world that you could only experience through the eyes of your community or your parents or your surroundings as a child. Because you can't really choose what you want to do or go or where you want to be when you're a child. But as soon as you kind of hit that adulthood, it's like you, and you get to choose what you want to do. And that's pretty amazing. And you get to finally be your own person. That's, I think, a really incredible thing that we get to experience. Because I feel like a lot of childhood is just like trying to maybe fit in or trying to people please or trying to be the funniest or the loudest or the most interesting or the most skillful and always trying to prove yourself and trying to figure who you are out. I'm trying to figure out who you are on top of all of that, which is just like a nightmare. You got so many things going on and so much nonsense going on. And then you gotta have to go to school on top of all of that. But now you're an adult, and now that's really cool, and you're still doing schoolwork, God bless, we're still doing schoolwork, midterms and exams are coming, my God, but you get to be yourself now, and you get to figure out the time, what you want to do, and you get to make your own choices, and you get to do what you want to do. If you realistically didn't want to go to class, and you skipped every single one of your classes, and you didn't do it, congrats, you're an adult now, you get the choice to do that, and even though it may not necessarily be the right choice, or the most helpful choice, or maybe the best choice for you, it's your choice, and that's the best part of being an adult, you get to choose. There's that age-old thing of children wanting to eat ice cream for dinner, and then people saying, oh, you can when you're an adult, like, when you're an adult, you can do what you want, and honestly, it's true, except for you have to buy your own ice cream now, that's just how it is, there are some things that come with it, but it's your choice. If I wanted to go to the mall right after this tonight, I could. If I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do, spend $400 on whatever, I could, and that's kind of cool, but yeah, life is a lot of that. Life is a lot of being scared of what you don't know, so you're terrified once you're here to reach the age of 19 or the age of 20 or however old you're going to be, just like because you've never lived it before, you've never experienced it before, and that's really frightening to not know the thing you're going to be stepping into and not know how life is going to treat you once you hit that age or how the people around you are going to treat you or how everything is going to shift and go off balance, and you know, everything is scary. Everything new is frightening, and that's what makes it so amazing. I mean, why do you think human beings bungee jump and dive out of planes and swim in the ocean blues and cave? Oh my God. If I can do anything in this world, if I like were to like fully never do something, it would be caving. I have never understood that. It's like the thought of like thousands of pounds of earth being over top of you is like such a terrible feeling to me. But, you know, to each their own, I suppose. I bet there's a ton of cavers who love it so much and who don't feel of an inch of fear when they're down there and love it to death. And, yeah, I think that's really cool. Like I said, you get to do whatever you want. If you're an adult and you want to go caving now and you want to go jump out of planes and if you want to go do whatever you please, that's how it is. You just have to deal with the consequences, I suppose, of your actions. Yeah, it's kind of wonderful. We get to grow and change in these bodies and we get to live however many years in comparison to some of the other species in this world. Living to 90s and 100s now. I have a relative who's over 100 now. She got a letter from the Queen when she was still alive. Because I don't know about this, if you know about this, but once you turn 100, something or other, in at least Canada, I don't know about anywhere else, you got a letter from the Queen. I believe it's someone different now, but maybe the prince, but I forget. And yeah, well, that's really cool that we get to live that long. That's a century. That's incredible. She lived through, she is alive still through like countless like historical events that I read about in my history books. And that's crazy how far away that is now too. Like it's like we're still learning about these like world wars and these horrible things that happened like still consistently that were like hundreds of years ago now. Well, not hundreds, but you know what I'm saying. But it's kind of crazy that one day this is going to be history. And one day the things that we live and experience are going to be history. And it's been talked about to death, but God, yeah, our children are going to know about what COVID-19 was and how the world basically shut down and how we got to live through that. And it wasn't such a, maybe it wasn't such a big deal to us now, but it was like, that's going to be in history books. People are going to talk about that historically for like the next couple, maybe hundreds of years too. Maybe they'll talk about the kind of things that we experienced just like, and they'll learn about that. That's kind of cool that we get to live through those kind of different things. And as horrible and terrible as they were, obviously, there's something interesting about knowing that you are a part of history now. There's something interesting about knowing that things that you experienced and saw and were a part of were one day going to be talked about and dissected in a classroom by younger kids just like yourself. And if you're a history buff or a history major, that must be very exciting for you to think that you could be kind of in the next conversation, or maybe the people around you or your great-grandchildren or people in your life or just generations forever are going to talk about the kind of things. I'm going to play some music now. My voice is hurting a little bit from talking so much, and yeah, it's hard. I know it's a bit harder to listen to in the like recordings, like because if you go to the website, there is a page of all the recordings that I've done and little teeny tiny descriptions about all of them and et cetera, et cetera. If you want to listen to them, you can fall asleep to my melodic voice. No, but yeah, there's tons of voices you can listen to. Unfortunately, though, we can't keep the music in for copyright reasons, so there are a bit of sections that maybe are a little bit more cutting offing than I would like to. So I do try to talk for these like long stints just to make it one, easier for the editors, and two, like sound a bit more together instead of like cutting off every like I don't know 5-10 minutes. So don't get sick of my voice because I swear to God I'm doing it for you if you guys feel like listening in, you know, halfway through. Anyway, I'm gonna put on some music now. I'll see you guys in 10-15 minutes depending on how lazy I am today. Hello again. That was, I think, about 15 minutes. I'm not totally sure. I wasn't checking too closely, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, that sounded about right. I got like 5 good songs in there. Yeah. I'll say this once and I'll say it a million times. It's really nice to be able to play whatever whatever music I like, because it just, I don't know, it makes it a little bit more fun. I get to turn on the music. I just, you know, hope that people are listening to the bands I like. For example, I've been playing a lot of The Raw Band, which is like spelled R-A-H, and it's like a band from the 1980s, somewhere like that, and it's really good. You probably, like, most of you, I assume, know their one song, Messages from the Stars, because that was, like, super, super prevalent in TikTok and all those, like, online social media apps in, like, 2021, I think. Really popular song, probably, like, one of the bigger ones there. Yeah, it's, like, probably, it is their most popular song because of that, but I love all of their music. I love this song called Are You Satisfied? I've been listening to it, like, on repeat for maybe the past, like, I don't know, week and a half. It's really, really good. And I love the sound, that kind of 80s music. I kind of miss a lot of the way that, and this is probably just, like, showing my age, but I miss, like, the 2000s kind of era of music and the 80s and the 90s, for example, even though I wasn't alive for those last two. But it definitely, there's something very, like, magical about it and, like, fun. And it just, like, especially I think with the 2000s, like, a lot of 2000s pop is just fun. You listen back on it and it's just, like, fun times. It's just perky and poppy, exactly how it's supposed to be. And now, I don't know, I listen to a lot of music now and it's just not as catchy or interesting or fun. I don't really want to, like, feel like I want to dance to it. I miss, like, the party kind of music that 2000s had. And even so, we still play mostly 2000s music when we go to parties. So, I don't know, and some of the newer pop artists are going to have to step it up. Because as much as I, like, I do enjoy some of the new pop artists, like, for example, I'm not sure, no, here's some names, Sabrina Carpenter and Chappelle Roan. I don't really listen to them, unfortunately, not for, like, reasons of not wanting to. I just, like, haven't. And I don't know, I feel like they're amazing artists. They just don't capture the same kind of energy that the 2000s had that made them so special. Like, certainly not anywhere near the kind of aesthetic as, like, Britney Spears or even Lady Gaga, for example. It's just, like, Katy Perry. There's just something quite interesting to me and very... it makes you, like, want to have fun. Do you know what I mean? It really is just, like, a moment of, like, funness and enjoyment. And I feel like we miss some of that in our music now, and there's not a lot of creativity. And that's, like, something I think about a lot, the fact that just... that seems, generally speaking, the creativity is going down, and, like, people don't have to try as much. That it feels like our world is moving into a very technology-centric energy, which is both, like, scary and, like, interesting, and see how new it will be, newfangled. But as someone who really likes, like, loves thinking about, like, how, like, the internet in the 2000s, I think, was, like, the perfect kind of combination of internet. It was just enough that it was new and interesting and fun, and there was, like, all these, like, amazing things and communities, but it was also, like, still enough that it wasn't, like, so integrated into our lives that if people didn't want to connect, they didn't have to. Now it's, like, almost entirely, like, if you don't have a phone, you can't really work. If you don't have, like, an email or et cetera, et cetera, it's just inconvenient to do certain things. But, you know, that's just growing up. I liked the conversation I was having earlier about how people are afraid of growing up. I know for a fact that, like, I was, like, very nervous about getting older. When I hit my 18th birthday, I was, like, struck for a minute of just, like, oh, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm, like, getting older. And even though your brain doesn't fully start developing until you're 25, there's still that social impact of being older now, of people, like, looking at you and considering you as, like, older and you having more just responsibilities from the world and et cetera. And just that's... both, like I said, it was wonderful. As I was talking about earlier, it is wonderful to have those kinds of experiences and these new opportunities revealed to you, and just knowing that a new chapter of your life is coming and the world is now kind of in your hands to use and do as you so please. But at the exact same time, it is, like, very scary. It's we're kind of all expected, I think, to be so excited and impressed and just urging, like, inching towards this goal of, like, getting older and succeeding and completing school and etc. I cannot believe I'm going to be 24 when I'm finished this. Or, yeah, I think 24 if I'm doing the math correctly. Because my year, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not a math major. I'm an English major. Don't make me do math. It's too early. It's not. But, yeah, it's incredible. We basically get jousted into this life as a child. And I think I wouldn't like this, but I've heard that most people when they were children were, like, desperate to be old and desperate to seem mature and grow up and not do these, like, childish things. I was more so on the childish side. I think I played pretend for quite a few years. But yeah, it's sad to look back on and realize that you miss those childhood. If you have a younger sibling or anything, sometimes I recommend just, like, giving them the room to be childish, giving them the room to, like, not be grown. I like that a lot, honestly. I tried to do that with my sister, but she grew up pretty fast. And that's just who she is as a person. She's funny and smart, and she's very witty. And so she just grew up fast. That's just how it ended up being. And, yeah, we kind of lose that. And then when you reach your adulthood and you realize you didn't have a childhood, that's a really scary thing. I know a lot of people talk to me and they say, I feel like I lost out on my childhood, or I feel like I missed out on huge parts of my being a child, or I feel like I grew up too fast and the people around me forced me to grow up too fast, and then I never got to experience what it was like to actually be a kid. And so now that I'm an adult, I'm searching for this childishness that I don't have the room for because I'm old now. And, you know, what can you do in that moment? There's no time for you to be a child. And I think there is still. I think that there's always a bit of room in your life for that wonderment of being a kid. Because that really is what being a child is about. It's about that wonder, that searching and that finding these new things and that educativeness, and just the world is revealing itself to you and you don't understand it yet, but you're slowly getting to it. And I think there's still room for that as an adult. You can't know everything. You can't learn anything. And even though you're learning these much bigger concepts perhaps in your class and you're at a different level than you are, there's still so much room for wonder. As I listen to some people in their life, as they get older, as I've spoken to people about their parents, I find that a lot of people when they get older lose their hobbies. They don't do these things anymore that they used to, and to, like, to say, like, that's not their fault. There's, like, the 9 to 5 you have to follow. There's getting jobs, there's money. Once you're finished your work, you want to go home and you want to lay in bed and you want to watch a movie or scroll TikTok. I've been there. I've done all the work before. I've come back from a long day of classes and just wanted to crash and lay down and not do anything for the rest of forever. But, yeah, I fear that a lot of parents, and, like, my parents, too, have lose time for their, like, love, their things, and then I always think when you turn 60 and you retire and there's nothing left to do and you've worked your entire life and now you're like sitting alone on a lakeside, hopefully, or in your house by yourself, and what do? And then, you know, you can't watch TV for the rest of your life. That's so harrowing. My mother, a couple days ago, went to a night class at Conestoga College for a glassmaking. She used to be excellent at glassmaking. Well, she is excellent, but she used to be really excellent at glassmaking and do it in her house all the time in her little basement. She had her little glass cutting stand, and she was brilliant. I love what she does. And she stopped doing that for a while. It was just, like, hard. She works hard. She has 3 kids. She's one of the most hardworking women I've ever met in my life, and it's just, you know, she doesn't have the time for it anymore, and that was made me really sad for a long time because I love my mother and I want her to be able to enjoy her life, and even though she's an adult, I want her to be able to have that wonder. And, you know, like, her going to that night class was such a fulfilling thing for me because she made a beautiful feather just right out of glass. It's amazing. I don't know how she does it. And it was this gorgeous little feather, and she was, like, really undermining it, but I was like, that's really cool. I think we should be more egotistical about the things we do. We do these amazing things, and then we're so humble about them. Oh, no, I didn't. It's fine. It's an okay thing. Like, it's not the best yet. Like, I wasn't even warmed up. We've all heard these excuses. We've all made these excuses before just to try to save ourselves from the embarrassment of not being perfect or not doing everything exactly right. But I think that some of the things we do are incredible. My mom made a feather out of glass. That's really cool. I don't know anyone else who really works with glass at all. And she was still trying to undermine it because that's just kind of what we're taught to do as people, just to be humble about these things that we should be, like, proud about. I have 3 articles that are going to be in the newspaper, and I'm so proud about that. I'll tell anyone about that. And I still catch myself sometimes trying to be humble about that and trying to maybe undermine my achievements and say, oh, it's fine. It only takes me so long to make and do. It's nothing too special, et cetera. It's, like, not even my best work. But it is. Like, I'm proud of those articles that I got to put in the cord. And so, of course, I'm going to talk about them. Of course, I'm going to, like, get to share my, like, love for the things I do about them. And, you know, there's always room for wonder. There's always room for these incredible things that you've done. No matter how old you are, I'm so proud of you for taking the time to do these things, even if you're 60 and you're only now picking up how to learn how to play guitar because you really wanted to when you were 20, but you didn't have the time because you were working. I'm proud of you for doing that. And even if you're miserable at it right now, and even if your aged hands are struggling to find the chords, I am so proud of you for doing that. It takes effort. It takes courage to be bad at something. It takes more courage to be bad at something than it is to be good at something. Because you have to fail. You have to take the time to be the worst in something. You have to take the time to not be good at something before you start it. I love crocheting. I've been crocheting for forever. Not forever. I've been crocheting for the last couple of months. But it feels like forever. And when I started, I was miserable. All my days, I was miserable at it. I couldn't figure out how to do it. My stitches were miserable. Everything was horrible. Everything was hard. And I'm still not amazing at it, but I'm so much better now just because I forced myself to get through that learning stage. And I know a lot of you guys don't do that to yourself. I know a lot of you guys will start the process of learning, and then when you can't do it, you'll give it up. And you gotta give yourself a little bit of time to, like, be bad, to be bad at things. And even if you don't want to tell people that you're bad at things, you gotta. I would never be half the person I am if I wasn't originally bad at something. And if I gave up my skills before I started them, I wouldn't be half of what I was. I, like, have been drawing since I was, I don't know, as old as I can remember. I've been drawing since I was able to, like, hold my, like, wrap my little fingers around a pencil or shove them in finger paint. And I obviously was not good at it at the beginning. Art is something that you can't be good at immediately. It's a lot of skill, and it's a lot of learning, and it's a lot of just understanding different things. And I think I'm a really good artist now. I love the way I draw. I love the things I do. I have a semi-successful commission business. And that took time, that took failure, that took energy and learning, and I'm still learning every single day. I'm still getting better. And that's a hard truth, I think, for some people. Some people don't want to learn. some people would rather just be good at things. And that's why I think there's a lot of shortcuts nowadays for certain things. Learn how to play guitar in 10 days, et cetera, et cetera. But if you got to learn how to love it, you know what I'm saying? You have to sit there and learn how to fall in love with it and fall in love with the hobby and the skill and this amazing thing. And that's how you get good at something. I love drawing. I could sit there and draw for 6 hours if I really wanted to. And I do want to. I just have school. See what I mean, though? It gets in the way of everything. School and work and et cetera. It's just a hard life we've kind of built for ourselves because it's less about enjoyment and more about working. And I understand why it is that way because obviously you need people to be able to clean up garbage and do these certain things. And jobs are necessary, a necessary part of life for how we consume. But still, it's terrible that some people will never get to do these things that maybe they would have been incredible at. Like, who knows? Maybe the guy working at the steel plant could have been the next Michael Jackson if he was able to have the time to sing and had the confidence to sing. It's like you lose all these opportunities that you don't take. And I know you've all seen that poster. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. We had it in our shop classroom when I was in elementary school. But, yeah, it's true. You do. If you don't do the thing, you'll never know if it was going to be or not. And I feel like I talked about this last week because it seems very familiar to me to be talking about this into a microphone. But you do miss it. And the more skills you don't take the time to learn, the more you don't learn them and the less you know. The time is going to pass anyway. You can either work on a guitar for 8 years and be good at it, or you don't. But you're going to be old anyway, and you're going to be sitting there when you're 60. And regardless if you spent the time to actually learn how to do things, you're going to be 60. And that's just how it's going to be. And would you rather be 60 watching television, or would you rather be 60 knowing that you love guitar and you love to play it, and that makes you happy and it makes the people around you happy? I love that we have a piano in our concourse area. I love it so much. The other day there was a girl there, and it was like maybe, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and she was there and she was playing this like beautiful, beautiful music. I imagine she was a music major. If she wasn't a music major, she should switch over. But she was playing all these symphonies and these beautiful pieces on the piano from the musicians of old. And it was beautiful. And I remember I was with a friend at the time, and he's like, where are you going? Because I got to split off. And I just stood in that little balcony area over top of the piano, and I listened to her play for like 10 minutes. And then afterwards, I spoke to her a little, and I think that's amazing. She has an incredible skill, and she gets to add color into the world by being as wonderful as she is at piano. And it definitely wasn't an easy step. I'm sure she spent maybe years perfecting these skills of piano, and it's really beautiful to see that. It's really beautiful to get to see the human spirit and this creation that we as like humans alone really get to connect with, and like you don't really see any other animals or any other creatures creating music in the same that we do. We have birds and such and all these different animals, and they have their own ways. I just think it's so personal and connected that we have the ability to sing, and that we have the ability to, like, we've made these beautiful instruments to play, and some of them are so cool and interesting. And it's just, we have so much in the world that we take for granted. I truly think that. I think that every single day when we wake up, we take things for granted. And I'm just here to tell you that, you know, maybe take a moment to not take those things for granted, to maybe feel that you, like, can be in love with the world and not to be afraid of that. There's nothing wrong with being in love with the world. I'm sure when you were younger, you were in love with the world. And I'm sorry if you've lost that. I'm sorry if your younger self has faded away and lost being in love with the world. But when you're a child, when you're short, when you're just first stepping outside and seeing the snow for the first time, you fall in love with the world. You fall in love with the things around you. You fall in love with all these beautiful things, these new experiences every single day. And I think that's why we miss being children, because we missed falling in love with the world. Okay, I think that's a good time to play some music. I appreciate you guys being here for this, and, you know, let's get on with it. I am a radio show, after all. I can't just start talking for 20 minutes at a time. But yeah, I'll see you guys in 10. Okay, welcome back for our Maybe our little last talking segment of the afternoon before I start wrapping things up and playing my final 10 minutes of music that I usually do. It's nice to think about. And, you know, I get those moments of quietness that after I speak for a little bit where I get to kind of rethink over what I said and think of things introspectively and just wonder how I come off and how things sound and if I want to add on to anything I said and how I want to build off of those things. And I feel like it's just a tough conversation. It's like a nice conversation to think about. Just feeling proud of the things that you do and building on these skills so that when you do end up being older, you can feel proud of the person that you've become and feel that you aren't just a sitting duck waiting in this room just hoping that, you know, something good is on the television. And I know I always bring that up. I know I always go back down to technology, but I think that these skills that you can accumulate, even if they are like technological skills, even if you are an incredible analytic when it comes to film or you're a video game enthusiast or et cetera, there's tons of things that come hand in hand with electronics that are also really amazing. But I mean, still. Anyway, more a little exercise for you guys today, if I can, if you let me. Just take a moment and just think about something you're good at. And I know all of you are going to be like, well, I'm not good at anything, so-and-so and such-and-such. And I know there's a lot of people who right now are really insecure and maybe not feeling the best about themselves, especially since I know a lot of you haven't had that much time to do these things since school has started up again. But, you know, think of something good that you can do right now. Think of something that you are skillful at right now. And now think of something that you were good at when you were a kid. Think of something that you had a skill when you were a child, something that you were proud of yourself for back then. Maybe you weren't proud of yourself of it now. Maybe it hasn't changed since. But when you were a child, let's say a solid, like 5 to 10, somewhere in that little regimen, just think of something for a second, if you will. Something that you were good at. Something that you were confident in yourself in. Maybe you were, for your age, maybe you were an incredible artist. Maybe you were a good, amazing reader. Maybe you kicked the ball the farthest or jumped the fastest. Or maybe you were funny and smart, and maybe you are funny and smart, and just think about that for a minute. Think about how proud you were back then. Think about how good it felt to be good at something. You aren't losing that. Now you're older and maybe it feels less like an achievement because we're seeing all these, people who are younger who are like gifted, quote unquote, children, like 12-year-old Da Vinci's and Mozart's and such on television, and everything is faster and newer and younger and shinier now. People become famous for young things, people, etc. But even though you're getting older, and even though maybe you are past the quote-unquote gifted stage where it's quote-unquote impressive enough online to be good at things, I'm still really proud of you for doing those things and taking the time to be good at those things. And even if you aren't amazing at everything, if you feel good doing something, then keep doing it. I am not an incredible guitar player, but I love doing it sometimes, and so I do it. Even though I will go nowhere, and I'm going to impress nobody with my skills, I love it. And why on earth would I ever not do something I love doing and do something that's like I cherish? You can't keep living your life trying to impress everyone. You got to live your life to just feel happy and love yourself. But I think we need to be more egotistical about the things we do. I think humbleness has taken over the world in some regard. And to be honest with you, to have a truthful moment for a minute, no one likes it when you're self-deprecating. No one enjoys it. Most people are actually rather turned off when people are self-deprecating. Think about how you feel when someone all the time is like, I'm so ugly, I'm so such and such, I'm so and so and so, I'm so bad at everything. You feel tired. You feel it's tired to hear that kind of things. And even I understand if you do feel those things, you need reassurance. But if you're just doing those things so you can hear people say the otherwise, it's like not healthy. And a lot of people don't really enjoy to be the person in that conversation who has to constantly be like, no, you're beautiful, I swear, no, you're amazing at this, I promise. You can be so much more of a person if you are proud of yourself, if you take the time to realize that these things you are good at. And I know it's hard to see that right now, I know it's hard to see that period, because you're surrounded by so many talented people, especially at university. There's so many talented people here. And you're surrounded by all this, see, you scroll TikTok every single day and you see, look at this amazing singer, look at this amazing such and such. We have so much we see in the world now. Back when my parents were kids, if you wanted to hear good music, you'd turn on the radio, you would read books, you'd have to go to the library and rent out little discs, like little floppy discs, etc. And it's different now. If I want to go see whatever I want to see, I can open my phone, my little device, and I can check out whatever I want to see. And that, and it just, it's more convenient for sure, but it's just, it's so much more information all the time, constantly, that it just becomes maybe a bit more like, it just seems like you're not as good. You can't catch up. You don't have a viral video on TikTok for what I know of. You don't have so-and-so and such. And it just, it makes it a little bit more challenging to see the goodness that you do have and the power that you have and the things that you do. And as I said, there is no shame in mediocrity. I don't know who started that, where you had to be instantly and instantaneously amazing at something and so good at something to be appreciated. If you are mediocre at something, I love you more for that. I love people who can't sing quite, but still sing at the top of their lungs at concerts. I love people who can't dance, but sure try their best when they like listen to music because they love the way it makes them feel. I love people who aren't maybe amazing at math, but try their darndest every time and try to figure out these equations. There's so much love that comes from mediocrity. You can't be perfect, not at everything. And you can't be perfect all the time. And it's a hard truth to know that people around you are going to be better than you at things that you think you are the best at sometimes. That's very, like, it makes you feel small. It makes you feel less important because we're in such a society of success. We are in, especially for you BBA kids, we're in such a society for this succession that we need to complete, that everything needs to be done top of the class, best of the thing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to do your best. I'm just saying you have to accept the mediocrity that comes alongside that. You have to some degree, accept that there are some things that you are going to be mediocre in, and even those things that you love that you want to be so good at, you're going to be mediocre in. I really wanted to learn how to code. I really wanted to learn how to program and do this kind of things I love. I thought that would have been so cool. I'm still trying, but God, I'm mediocre at it. I'm not amazing. I'm still learning. I'm still doing my best, but at the same time, I'm still proud of myself for doing that skill, but I know for a fact I'm not as amazing as I could be at it. And I'm certainly to no level of somebody who's actually skilled and gifted at coding. And that's just how it is. And I still love it, so I still do it. It's challenging, though. I understand that you don't want to do something that you're not succeeding at because it feels like there's no success in that, and it feels like there's no movement, and it feels like there's no anything. But I want you to know that I'm proud of you for trying. And I know that there may be empty words. I'm just a radio host, but I think that you should love it, and you should love the world around it, and you should love yourself. And it's definitely, you know, it's life. We learn, we live, we love, we do everything. And that's life. It's kind of incredible to get to be a part of that all. It's kind of incredible to get to join in hand and know that it's safe to be mediocre about things. Mediocrity is such a beautiful thing, gift that we get to give. And you should be, I think, a little bit grateful that you get to have the room to be mediocre at things right now. I don't think a lot of people get that. We're kind of like in the best spot possible right now in the world for most, especially in Canada, like not other places in the world, obviously, but it's kind of like we have so much room to self-express, to do what we want. We are so in, like, for as bad as it is, we are really in a world of consumerism right now. So it's just, there's so much stuff available to us so readily. We get to experience the world so like richly, and we get so much information. We are never as connected, I think, totally as we have been. And like I said, you get to express yourself the way you want. You get to do what you want to do for the most part, not everything, obviously. And it's just, the tides are changing, you know? It's the most friendly place ever. And if you think about it, it's like my grandmother she does cosmetology. She was a hairdresser for quite a couple of years. She went to school for it. And one time her friend accidentally dyed her hair bright orange, like brighter than orange. And she said people stared at her for like ever until it wore out, and people all the time would be so mean to her and judgy to her, etc. And that's so interesting here, because if I saw someone with bright color of the orange hair, I wouldn't even bat an eye. I wouldn't even be interested. I've seen so many people with colored hair this week. And it's just interesting to think about, because just these like little things that we don't realize, these like ways we can express ourselves and be good at things and be interesting. Like, I'm sure there was so much flack for girls who used to play in the sports teams back then. I'm sure that everything was, obviously, everything was so much more different, and now you get to grow these skills and be and like have a good time with them, and maybe you want to be a glassmaker, and maybe when you were younger, you wanted to be good at sports, and you weren't, and now you have the chance to, but you're scared to be bad at it, and then you never will. And that's really sad, I think, to never know what you could have been because you're too afraid to fail. Let's leave on a good note, though. I was going to cut it off there, but I feel like that's quite a sad thing to leave off on, just that feeling of failure. Today, if you want to do anything, my mission for you is just to try something you know you're bad at. Maybe you're not good at reading, and maybe I ask you to read a chapter out of a book. Maybe I'm asking you to go try to make some food even though you're not a chef. Maybe it's just the chance to do something that you know you're not going to be amazing at, but to know that maybe you got 2% better out of that time. Maybe that now you've got that experience, things are changing. Maybe the world is yours, right? And the time is going to pass you regardless. So maybe try to grab it when you can. Anyway, today it's 11:43 a.m., which is a wonderful time. I noticed that when I was listening back, I noticed that the radio is slightly disincapated from the things I'm saying, but it should be hopefully not a minute behind. So 11:43 a.m. and it's slowly starting. It's like stopping to rain now. I don't see any rain outside my window, but you know, it's a beautiful day. So I urge you to keep trying to do those things that you're good at and keep trying to do those things that you're bad at and just keep trying. Okay. It's scary. And the world is struggling right now, and everything feels very fast-paced and too much. And my God, we're almost at our second set of midterms and exams, like I said. That's crazy. But just know that it's going to be okay, and we're going to do it. And eventually we'll be old and gray, and university will be leagues behind us, and we'll just think, well, wasn't it swell that I got to do it anyway? Wasn't it amazing that I got to do all those things anyway and be a part of that experience, and now that I'm old, I get to sit on the couch and crochet and be happy. Anyway, I'll leave you guys with that. I hope you have a beautiful day. I'm going to play music for 15 more minutes, it seems, and then we're back on the regular nonsense. I shouldn't say nonsense. There, it is good music. But we're going to be back on the regular show after I'm gone. You know me, Clara Elizabeth Rose, Mondays from 10 to 12. Times got set back. I didn't mention that. The times got set back. I didn't know until I was in an Uber ride home and the Uber driver leaned over and was like, hey, the time's going to turn back. And I was like, oh. Yeah, but that's the world, right? Okay. Well, you guys have a beautiful, wonderful day. I'll be setting on some music and then we'll be back to our normal stuff. And, you know, I'll see you guys next Monday. I think my friend who wasn't here this week is going to be on next week. So if you want to tune in, it'll probably be less of like this, like, oh my God, melodramatic, oh, the world is yours, etc. And be more of me and my friend talking, and we're funny, I think. So it'll be fun to listen to that. Anyway, I've said this 7 times, but have a beautiful day.